Yeah, so if I think back, we've been now in Somerset West for 3 years. The four of us moved there. And when we moved from Edgemere, and I'm still working on that side. So and then we went back to 5 days a week driving into Montague Gardens. I'd do sort of four or five days a week. So I was really trusting that God would move me somehow. And I was kind of, I don't know how much it was feeling God and how much it was trying to will it on myself, you know, when you do that and you start putting words in God's mouth. And I changed my password login at work. You know, the password that you type in multiple times a day. Every time you leave your desk and you come back, you've got to put your password in. So I made it moving 01. I thought, right, let's speak this into being, you know. And every month, the system forces you to change your password. So then next month, you're moving 02, and then I got to moving 22, and you start thinking, goodness. And that's when I changed my attitude. And I changed it to abide 01. And I thought, you know, I'm going about this the wrong way. I'm trying to put words in God's mouth. I'm trying to seek what I want, you know, through the eyes of God. And I must actually seek God and trust in God. And when I got to abide 06, things changed. So I'm still working in that Montague Gardens, but things changed and God opened up new avenues and it's very different, and I've got a much bigger, let's say, circle of influence that I can use, and God's using me in corporate, which is great. And we must never shy away from that and say, oh, we wish we could be full-time. These guys get to just, like, sit under the directing elders and just hang with each other and just go to conferences and go to Isle of Man. But we have got a very important place in the marketplace, and very important that we do that we're used there, that God wants to use us, and that He is using us, and that He puts us in positions where we can influence people. So instead of sitting behind my computer trawling through Excel all the time, which I could, I try and walk the factory floor, and when I walk past people's offices and they say, how are you doing? I try and slow down a bit. You know what it's like. You say, yeah, I'm fine, how are you doing? And then you're already 10 meters away. But just stopping for 30 seconds, asking a guy's doing, hearing if it's a guy's birthday, going into the factory, finding him, wishing him. And that's what God wants from us. You know, He wants us to be excellent in our work, so I still have to do the spreadsheets. But just take those few moments and just go make a difference in people's lives. And people see that. And that's what God wants. He wants people coming to us and saying, hey, you know, what church do you go to? I saw something in you. You know, that's what we want. Amen. So the topic I've got is Abide, Listen, and Love, if you like titles. And we're going to be looking at John chapter 15. And this is a topic, as you can hear, was close to my heart. So it's not like I'd fallen away from God, but I just sort of taken my eyes, just maybe sort of looking at the road, you're looking at the speedometer type thing, you know. So we need to make sure that we are abiding. So let's have a look. Ethan, it's Ethan, eh? If we can start in... yeah, those are the three we're going to look. If we can go into John 15, please. Is this a good place to stand? Because the stage seems to have more feedback than the sound system. Hey? Okay, I thought there was a trapdoor under the carpet. So this is a good place to stand. Okay. Right, let's read together. So this is Jesus speaking, and this is one of the seven, it's the last of the seven I am statements where Jesus is speaking, and He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Okay, we'll come back to that one again. So abiding, and I think we're mostly English here, am I right? But it's not a word that we use common, but it really means to, you know, like remain in me. And like Afrikaans was like bly in my. And it's really having that deep relationship. And that's why those words about washing the feet was quite relevant. It's, we mustn't have this relationship with Jesus that it's, yes, He is the Almighty. God is the Almighty. He's our Creator. He's our Savior. but he's also our Father, and he's a Father that loves us. He's a Father that wants a relationship with us, and he wants us to abide in him. He wants that relationship where he can actually come and wash our feet, and he wants all of us, and he wants us to be invested in him and not just, you know, rocking up on a Sunday, doing our duty, and off again. Are we invested in him? Are we abiding in him on a daily basis? Because he wants us to know him. So if we think of Cheslin Kolbe, I think a fairly well-known name, maybe even amongst the ladies, the guy that plays on the wing for the Springboks. I know all the World Cup hype is down now, but, you know, you might be so into Cheslin Kolbe that you watch all his replays of all his tries, and you watched how he proposed to his wife on the field, and you follow all the interviews with him, and you feel like you know him, and then you bump into him in the street, and you're like, Cheslin, so good to see you. And he'll be gracious, and he'll respond, but you don't know him. You don't know him like you know your spouse or your friends. You know a lot about him. And that's how we can be with God. We can come to church, we can read our Bible, we can learn, and we can gain so much knowledge about God that we know about him, but we don't really know him. We don't have that relationship. And that's what it means to abide, is to have that deeper relationship where you really get to know God and you get to know his heart. And you know what it's like with a very close friend or a spouse? You know each other so well, or maybe even school friends. You guys know each other so well that you start finishing each other's sentences, not sandwiches. From Frozen. And you know what the other one's thinking. So something happens and you go, oh, Ian's thinking that. I mean, Stephen and I do it such a lot now as well. It's quite funny. Because you know each other so well and you spend a lot of time, and it only comes from that spending a lot of time, having a relationship, conversing. And of course, conversing is both ways as well. We'll get into that later as well. But let's not just talk to God, but let's listen to God. Let's hear what God has got to say to us. So it means dwelling, remaining, being present. Those are sort of the synonyms. If you Google abide, is really being present and remaining in Christ. So a branch is absolutely weak and useless on its own if it doesn't have the tree. Do you agree? And Andrew also alluded to that, funny enough, at the gathering last night, saying the fruit cannot produce fruit. The tree produces the fruit. And if we look at the branches, we must remember that we are branches in this vine, but we are nothing without the vine. And we have to remain in the vine. So the same, a branch, whatever tree or vine it is, if that branch is not in the vine or in the tree, it's going to wither and die. It has to remain rooted and planted and abiding. Jeez, the stage is... I promise you it's the stage. That branch has to stay within the tree. So I had this picture when I was preparing this of a branch. You walk past a tree and you see a branch, and there's so many branches. You know what a tree looks like? The branches are all just dear makar. So it looks like the branch is part of the tree, but it's actually broken off and it's just fallen onto the others and it's resting in the tree. So it's actually not attached, but it looks like it's attached to us that we're just walking past. And let's not be those Christians that come here and we've actually broken off from the vine, but we're being held up because the church is so strong. We're being held up by the other branches, and we kind of look like we belong and we look like we fit in here, but we've broken off, and slowly that branch will start to wither. And of course, it won't produce fruit. So it might stay within the tree, but it's not going to produce fruit. And the analogy that's sometimes used within church as well is when the river's like really flowing strong, and your congregation's doing well, you can actually do nothing and you'll just get swept along by the stream because the church is just pumping and just moving. Let's not be the guys that are just being swept along. Let's be the guys that are actually active in the stream. Amen. So an example of somebody breaking off of the vine was Judas. So picture Peter and Judas, both called by Jesus, both walked with Jesus, both saw him doing all the miracles, listened to all the same teachings, but something went wrong. All right, Peter ended up at Pentecost preaching this amazing sermon and really the church getting birthed out of that, and Judas is the one that betrayed Jesus. Even probably both performed miracles. If we look, Ethan, at Matthew 10, verse 1, This is now Jesus calling the disciples, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. So there's no specific account in the Bible where it says Judas did this, but he was part of that 12, and they were called out to do all these miracles. So we must assume that he was going out and performing miracles with these guys. So something went wrong where Judas broke away from the tree, and he just wasn't producing the good fruit anymore, and he started withering and died and ended up betraying Jesus. So we've got to finish strong. Joy's reading a book at the moment, Finish Strong, which she says every man should read. I don't know why she's picking on the men, but it's written for men. Thank you. But it's so true. You know, you can like Richard that leads Summers at West, he's been in ministry for 42, 43 years, been a Christian probably for 50 years. What if he decides next year, I'm going to pack it up. After all that time, you've got to, it's where you end that counts. You've got to cross the finish line. You've got to finish strong. So there's a lot of guys that only get saved towards the end, but guys that have been faithful all these years, you've got to finish strong. And don't just crawl over the line. Let's run over the line. Let's take people with us over the line. Let's not just crawl into heaven. So the other analogy that's used is a body. I mean, Jesus uses such brilliant pictures in the Bible. Eh? I mean, growth and fruit and the body with many parts. And one of the illustrations is the body without a head. Your body can operate without many of its parts, but you can't operate without a head. And it's the same picture as the tree and the branches. You can't have the branches without the vine or the trunk, and you can't have a body without the head. So we need Jesus. The body parts all come together, and we are the different parts of the body. And thankfully, we're not all guitarists or not all coffee servers. You know, we've got a variety of skills and gifts and spiritual gifts within us to make us different so that we can complement each other into being the body. Right, and then we were also reading in there about pruning, which is very interesting. Because if you read there, it says, maybe we can just go back there to, perfect, thank you. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Right? So even our branches that are producing fruit, why would you prune them? Why would you cut them off? But God's not satisfied with the good. He wants the best. He wants us to be even better. So we might be faithfully serving in kids' church, but he wants us to be a deacon, or he wants something better for us. God wants to stretch us. So all of us, we need to be seeking for what God wants for us, and not just settling into a role and saying, well, I'm now a keyboard player now. That's me for 10 years. Maybe God's got something else planned for you, and maybe he wants to grow other keyboard players, and he wants you to move into something else. So we've got to be abiding in Christ and listening for what he wants for us so that we can move into to the right role. So he wants to continually prune us, and maybe I got a bit sidetracked there, but the pruning is actually more about our character, isn't it? It's not so much about the skills. It's very much about our character. So we might say, well, I'm a fairly good guy, but God wants us to be even better and striving for even more. So he will take that, and he will just prune us and get us even better. So if you look at a silversmith or a goldsmith, they don't prune, but they refine. So they take whatever metal they're working with, and they shove it into the fire, and then they take it out to see if it's looking better. And how do they know when it's right? When they can see themselves in it. And that's what Jesus did for us. He keeps sticking us in the fire until he can say, wow, now, finally, I can see myself in Nolan now. All those blemishes and spots that he had are gone. I can actually see my reflection. That's what Jesus, he wants us to be a good representation of him and reflecting him back when he looks into us. That's what he wants to see. And we look at Nolan and we say, but geez, he's got no blemishes or spots on him. But Jesus says, I see those little things that you can't see. And he sticks him back in the fire. It's the same if you stand next to a real silversmith and you watch him and you say, well, that silver looks pretty good. And he just keeps thrusting it back in because he can see so much more than we can see. He's trained and he's used to working with that silver. And Jesus will keep thrusting us back in. And we say, but just Lord, I really thought I'd learned that lesson. And he's like, no, you haven't learned it. You're going back in and back in. And sometimes we feel like, oh, that's these troubles. But it's God just refining our character. Character is so much more important than skill, isn't it? And that's what, I mean, I keep referring to the gathering now because it's fresh in our mind. But they kept saying, and Ross even said it when he was with us in Somerset West this morning. He says, if you look at the leadership team, it can only be God. But God picks the guys out of character, not out of skill. So we don't have these fantastic, naturally gifted in certain areas, but character, and then God equips these guys to be able to lead us. And pruning hurts, of course. Let's not think that it's all easy. So as we said, God refines us, and pruning does hurt. It's very necessary to get us and to get our character to where it needs to be. Okay, so that's abiding. Then we're going to move on to listening. So if we can go back to John 15 from verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Okay, thanks. So listening to God is listening for his voice, and a big part of that is spending time in his word. We're not all like some of these Old Testament guys that could hear God audibly. So we've got to seek God's word, pray, listen for what God's saying to us, and let his words wash through us. So the reason why we spend a lot of time in God's word is to get to know his character and to have that character in us, so that when we need to encourage someone or comfort someone or bring a word for someone, or someone says, what do I do in this situation? You say, well, this is what Jesus did. Take them back to the scripture. Or someone says, is this biblical? Well, let's go back to the scripture. And we need to know that scripture. So we need to be spending time and abiding in that scripture and letting God's words wash over and listening to what God has to say to us. In 2 John 1 verse 9. Sorry, from verse 8, yeah. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So continue to abide in the Word. The Word is such an important part of our faith, such an important part of who we are and our identity in Christ, is to have those words washing in us on a daily basis. And it's not just to come on a Sunday and get one or two scriptures, but to seek God for yourself and to seek to get that word into yourself. And if that's an area that you struggle with, speak to your common leaders, speak to your leaders. Say, I struggle with my quiet times. I don't know. There's 66 books. I don't know where to start, and I don't know what to do with it. Speak to the guys. There is just so much content out there. There's so many helpful guides to help you and lead you into devotions. And don't start with a two-hour devotion if you're not used to it, because then you're going to burn out. It's like saying, I'm going to start running, and let's start with a 21 tomorrow, and you start with a 1K or a 2K, and so you get going. So get yourselves fit by starting with something small that you can manage and working up from there. So apparently there's five types of fish that can swim upstream, the most common one being salmon, yes, we know that. So the salmon is a fish that typically swims upstream, and that's what we call to do as well. So we are called to swim against the current, to go against the world. The world is just getting weirder and weirder, don't you think? If you just see what's happening in the schools and in the press, etc., the world is just going more and more away from what the Bible is saying. And we need to be the ones swimming against the stream. And there again, be careful if you find yourself floating with the stream, like my analogy earlier, is a salmon that's floating with the stream has actually died. Because if he's alive, he's swimming up against the stream. And if you think, because often people will, if you bump into someone that's left the church and you say, man, we're missing you. How are you doing? Oh, I've never been better. Life is just so good. Because they're living in the world, and the world is, when you're floating with the stream and you're just cruising along, it's very comfortable. You know, when we grew up, some of you are my age, when we grew up, we had those blue circular porta pools, and you go around and around, and eventually it creates this whirlpool and it carries you around and you just float and it's quite lekker. And it feels comfortable, and that's what it's like when you're floating with the stream. It feels comfortable, but you are in the world and you let the world carry you along. We are called to be different. We're called to swim upstream and listening for God's voice and swimming against that current. So if you feel comfortable, then maybe you've died and you need to speak to your leaders. Spiritually died. And then listening produces fruit, of course. And a very well-known scripture, Galatians 5:22, if we can stick that up, where it lists the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And then probably the rest goes into verse 23, humility, self-control. Right. And one of the guys that was in our comm, Nkosi, that you guys will know, he was in our comm in Edgemead at one stage, and he says, you talk about the fruits of the Spirit, but isn't it the fruit? And he convicted me in that moment, because it's not like fruits that we can pick and choose, but it's like a basket of fruit. We should be producing all of that. So we can't say, well, I'm a businessman, so I can tick eight of the nine boxes, but patience, I don't have time for patience. I've got a 9-to-5 job, I've got to get things done, so patience is not on my list. We should be subscribing to all of those and showing all that fruit. So as a branch that's abiding in the vine, we produce good fruit, and we should be producing that whole basket of fruit and not picking and choosing what fruit we show. And then the branches of the vine never compare with each other. So you won't see the one branch saying, see, Mornay's grown another apple there, you know. I've got two apples and he's got three apples. And you never see the branches comparing. They just focus on producing fruit. They focus on staying in the vine and producing fruit. And that's what we've got to be like that as well. We've got to be actually celebrating each other and saying, wow, look what he's done. And actually wanting people to grow beyond us. You know, weak leaders in business, they employ people that they can control. But the good leaders employ people that are smarter than them, more ambitious than them, so they can actually go past them. And that's what we want for everybody here as well. We want guys, everybody sitting here, to be going past what we can achieve. And Ryan and Tracy were in Edgemead with us at one stage, and still new to the church. And we were taking the kids away for a kids' camp, and we said, why don't you guys come along? You don't have to do anything stressful. You just be camp mom and dad, which means you just got to love on the kids and put a plaster on the knee and give them a hug, and they could do that. Ended up leading kids' church, training kids' church across the Western Cape. Now they're leading a church in Durbanville, and that's what you want. You want people that you've just given a little nudge, and they go way past you. And so, I mean, that's just an example, but God uses all of us to just prompt people. Just say to your colleague, hey, you want to come to church? Maybe a few years later, that person is leading a congregation because you were obedient in the moment and you reached out and you brought a word to that person. Okay, and then the third thing is love, of course. So back to John 15 from verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that I love, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. So Jesus really sums it up there in love. And now what we really want to experience a deeper love for Jesus. And as we do that, we have a deeper love for each other. Yeah? And if we really love each other, we will desire the gifts, won't we? Because the more we love Jesus, the more we desire his gifts, the more those gifts come through, the more the fruit comes through us as we desire the gifts. Because the gifts are to serve each other. So we must desire the gifts because we want to serve each other. They're really here to, I mean, it's prophetic and it's teaching and it's admin and it's music. All the gifts are here to serve the body and to serve each other. And as we desire the gifts, so more of that fruit comes through us and we get the love and the joy and the peace and the patience for each other. We need patience with each other. We need the joy. We need to celebrate with each other, and we need to love each other. And that's one of the things when you ask people that have just joined, and we've had a lot of people coming into Somerset West, and you say, what brought you to the church? It's just the love that they feel, just that warmth. And they said, you know, I was in my previous church for 2 years, and I never spoke to the lead pastor, and I've been here 2 weeks, and your pastor has spoken to me both times, and you can just see that impact on them. And that's what we need to do. No one is bigger than anyone else. We're all just here to love each other, to serve each other. And as we serve each other, so we grow closer to each other. Right, if we can bring up that first blue slide again, please. So we've spoken about abiding, listening, and love. But the bigger message that I wanted to bring across tonight is that it's not just for Nolan or not just for Ross or Maurice, I think it is. But if you can, it's for all of us. So those three things are for every single one of us sitting here tonight. And that's what we want within the church. We don't want, and that's why we don't want the church becoming, I don't want to knock the mega churches, but we don't want to be a church of 500. We want to limit the numbers so that we can see you sitting in the corner there. We want to pull everybody in. We want everybody to be involved. And there are hundreds of scriptures that have the word all in them. But if we maybe just pick out one or two, 1 Corinthians 12:26-27. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So because we are one body, and we're not just one body in Amanus, we're one body across all our churches. So when we come here, we're family, and we plug in with each other, and we want to rejoice with you guys, and we want to suffer with you when you have an accident as well, and you're in pain. We want to suffer with you, and we want to share with each other, and that's what we want. And Joy the other night was walking around in the dark and stubbed her toe, and I think we've all been there, and it's funny when it's not you. You know, they say when you're a young married couple, maybe Evie is still at that stage, when you're a young married couple, you laugh together, but after too many years together, you laugh at each other. We're not quite there yet. We still laugh together. But if you stub your toe, the whole body knows about it. It's such an insignificant part of the body, but the whole body knows about it. And I had like a little bit of an eye infection this week as well from not sleeping enough. And then it like affects your whole body. But it's one little part of your body, and that's what it's like with us. So you guys must know, if your leader phones and says, hey, where were you on Wednesday? Or didn't you want to come to the gathering? It's not to tick a box, or so they can tell Ross, I had 100% attendance. It's because we really care for everybody here. And we want the whole body coming into unity together, the whole body moving forward together, and not leaving anybody part behind or in pain. And that other scripture is Philippians 1:23-25. I'm hard pressed between the. I just went from 23 just to give a bit of context here from what Paul's saying. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So Paul's saying here, I would actually just love to go and be with the Father, but I need to be here with you guys because you need a lot of work. And then he says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. So he didn't single anybody out. He says, I will remain and continue with you all. So there's a lot of scriptures that talk about the all. So again, if you look at Ephesians 4 as well that we love quoting, it's all about the all. And we want everybody running together. It's like the comrades marathon. You want to run over the line dragging people with you and not treading on people like the world does to get over the line, but actually all of us crossing together, celebrating together, dragging each other over the line, encouraging each other. That's what we want. So unfortunately, the world has got the wrong picture of church, and a lot of churches, a lot of us come out of mainstream churches where there's this wrong picture that Ross now must go and seek the Lord during the week, and he must come and bring the message on Sunday, and that we can receive it and get our like injection of faith for the week, and then we'll come back next Sunday for our next dose But that's totally the wrong picture. You can see the whole, all the scripture, all the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, it's for all of us. It's for all of us to do this together. It's a family thing. It's a body of Christ thing. It's the whole tree doing it together, all the branches working together, and not leaving it to just the full-time guy. He's paid to do it. He must read the word for us and simplify it for us. And guys are incredibly gifted in that way, and they will unpack the scripture. Like Richard that leads Somerset West, he's got a teaching gift. And you go, wow, just I've read that before, and that's not what my Bible says. You know, the guys just have a way of unpacking it, and that's a great gift. But don't expect them to just unpack it for you. We need to be doing this ourselves. So practically, what does this mean for us? How do we respond to what I've challenged you with today? And the response is to look at all these different areas as to where you can abide. So what's your prayer life like? What's your getting into the Word like? What is your serving like? Are you serving the body? Are you serving in your com? Are you serving in the bigger body here? What is your worship like? So you could be doing everything and you say, well, worship's not quite my thing. If you're a Christian, it should be your thing as well. So all of us have stronger areas and all of us have weaker areas. We need to work on those and be accountable in that as well. So I'm stronger in worship and the word than I am in prayer. So I know that. So that's an area that I need to focus on. Joy has got a ear issue, so she finds it sometimes difficult in worship, but extremely strong in the word and prayer. And we complement each other, but again, because we're the body, we know where the strengths are. But it doesn't mean that I'll just park prayer and Joy will park worship. We all work on all the areas. So it's worship, word, prayer, service, and then the other one is sacrifice. Are we sacrificing as well? Are we sacrificing for each other? Are we making sacrifices for God? So sacrifices could be sacrifice of time. I think we automatically think of time and money if we need to sacrifice. But it could also just be sacrificing pride. Ooh, jeez. It could just be sacrificing pride or something as well. So it could be sacrifice of just position or anything. You know, it's where does God want you to be? So it could be sacrifice of comfort. That's a good one. So you say, well, I would love to live in a Amanus and work from home. I mean, that would just be lekker, eh? But no, I'm now personally called to travel 60 Ks one way. And that's uncomfortable. But God's using me in that. If I was working from home, I wouldn't be seeing as many people. And I'm not knocking work from home. But for each of us, it's different. And each of us are called to sacrifice in certain areas. And God uses us through that sacrifice. Amen. So why don't we go and can I lead us in a time of prayer? Let's all bow our heads together.